The conscience of man is certainly another evidence that God exists. Well, of course, there are many evidences that God exists. But this is another one that we need to consider, because only God could have given man a conscience. And when we violate our conscience, it causes us discomfort, doesn't it? As it should. But the longer we continue in that which causes us pain, we become hardened. And this could lead to eternal damnation. That's the seriousness of it. But when we respond by conforming to God's will, our conscience needs to be set by the Word of God, by the way. Then, as we conform to God's will, our conscience is pleasant and at peace. You know, one of the reasons that so many people are unhappy with their lives and their religion is that they're living in violation of their conscience. Well, of course, if we're in the wrong religion, we need to learn the truth and obey the gospel of Christ. Now, our lesson this morning is a good example of the conscience and how it goes off, as we're going to be studying this morning from John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. 1 through 11. We'll begin this study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you. I mean, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we're going to stay with those initials. PFE. I'm trying to emphasize that, so we'll all do just that by remembering each day what we need to be doing. Yes, sir. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as, yes, sir, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That's having a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern according to John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. We love to have visitors. Something else to mention, if you would like to have a Bible study where we sit down together and open up God's Word, please let us know, and we'll set that up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses available, of course, free. And if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. You'll find our radio sermons going back a number of years, and our bulletins with information about our congregation and good, sound articles. Now, here's an announcement that we need to make, because our gospel meeting is fast approaching. And we want to, of course, have you join in with us September the 11th through the 13th. That would be Friday night, 7 p.m., Saturday night, 7 p.m., Sunday morning, 9:30, worship service, 10:30, a wonderful potluck lunch you're sure to enjoy, and then closing out the gospel meeting with a 1 p.m. service. Who is our speaker? Brother Ronnie Whittemore from the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis. And Brother Ronnie, he loves the truth. He's well known by members of the Lord's Church and throughout this area and throughout a lot of cities here in Indiana. He's preached at a lot of different congregations. And I'm sure you will appreciate the fact that Ronnie loves the truth. and he can shuck the corn and put it out where the calves can get it. In other words, we can all understand the message from the Word of God when Ronnie proclaims it. So make your plans to be with us September the 11th through the 13th. Now let's get to our study this morning of John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Why don't we just read that? And then we'll go back and look at, break it down more. John 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commandeth us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And so they continued asking him. He lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So what do we start out with? The accusation. Verses 3 and 4, the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. That's the accusation. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. That's what the accusation is, adultery. Now we go to Exodus 20:14, one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Then we go to Leviticus 20:10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Now, we'll have more to say about this verse in a moment. But what do we find today? Adultery, how often do you hear that term used outside the church, church services? Well, this is not used very much by society as they call it an affair. Or a fling, being partners. TV programs and movies glamorize this sin, do they not? Yes, they do. Well, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Now this is from the inspired Apostle Paul. He wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's notice. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminators, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. We don't want to be deceived and listen to those outside in society that are ungodly people. They're not knowing the will of God, and they don't seem to care. And so who do we listen to? The Word of God? Are we staying with the truth? Yes, this is a fact. If one continues in these sins, they cannot be forgiven. But notice in this letter, but such were some of you, but you were washed. They were obedient to the gospel. They got out of those sins and were forgiven of them. That's certainly what we want to see happen with all those today that are in these sins, to get out of them. But how are they going to get out of them if they're thinking that they're not in sin? That's where we're at today. Homosexuality is clearly mentioned here. Infemiters, those that take the feminine role in the homosexual relationship, abusers of themselves with mankind, takes the male role. And both are sinful. That's the point. Transgenderism, that's sinful. Same thing. Society says, no, these are, they can't help it. That's the way they're supposed to be. No, that's not what we learn from the Word of God. That's listening to society. Be not deceived. Let's notice that again in that verse. Don't be deceived by society. Let's go to Hebrews now, 13:4. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God will have the last say on the day of judgment. Not man, not his thinking and judgment. And of course, the sin like this destroys homes. Unfaithfulness to your spouse. And this causes death. Not only of adults, but even children. How many children have been taken from their mother's womb because of an adulterous relationship? Now, this is the only grounds for scriptural divorce, fornication. Matthew 19:9, this is what Jesus said, except it be for fornication. Not to put away the spouse just because you don't like the way they do things. No, that's not a scriptural ground. Stay with the truth, all of us. And this speaks volumes as to the importance of being faithful. That's why God set that as the only grounds for scriptural divorce. And we need to appreciate it, not try to avoid it. Now, this woman was guilty, no defense offered. She had been caught in the very act. So that's the accusation. Now let's go to the accusers. Verse 3, we see the scribes and Pharisees. They're the accusers. Scribes copied the law. Some were lawyers. They were scholarly. And they were also self-righteous. Yes, self-righteous hypocrites. Not by my saying it, but by Jesus saying it. If you go to Matthew 23, we won't read all the verses here, 1 through 12, but you can see the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So that's verses 3 and 4 of Matthew 23. Matthew 23, 3 and 4. So now, you'll want to study the rest of that passage. Jesus was a threat to their position, these scribes and Pharisees, because they had exalted themselves. And you know, to follow Christ, what must we do? Humble ourselves, of course, as a little child. Well, notice Matthew 18:3-4. Matthew 18:3-4. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We have to be humble to accept the truth. Not prideful. That's not going to get it. My way is not the right way, but it's God's way that leads to heaven. Now let's go on. The attitude, we've seen the accusation, adultery, the accusers, scribes, and Pharisees. Now what was the attitude of these accusers? What was their motive? Why bring her to Jesus? Well, verses 5 and 6, again, you can see they talk about Moses and the law commandeth us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? So they were doing what? Tempting Jesus. Yes, they were trying to put Jesus in between a rock and a hard place. They were trying to embarrass him, take away his influence. He was having this good influence, of course, on a number of people. Well, you go back to verse 2, it says all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. So they're trying to accuse Jesus of breaking the law of Moses. The Jews had not stoned anyone for adultery in years. Besides, the Romans had taken that privilege of punishment from the Jews. They had no power of capital punishment. If Jesus had said to stone her, he would have been violating the Roman authority. If he said not to stone her, then the people would lose respect because it was of the law of Moses. So the scribes and Pharisees, they weren't concerned about the law of Moses. They weren't concerned about the truth. They weren't concerned about justice, were they? No. Where's the man involved? They didn't bring him. Leviticus 20:10, remember we looked at this verse earlier. Leviticus 20:10, let's go back and notice again. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, that's male and female, shall surely be put to death. Well, why didn't they take this up in the courts if they wanted justice? You see, they had a double standard, just as so many do today. Yes, a double standard. I want you to live a certain way, but I'll live the way I want. That's, you know, how many hypocrites do we see in that situation? And notice Matthew 7, 1 through 5, you can see here that Jesus talked about judging. I think it would be good for us to read this. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it will be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye. Now, verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. In other words, people that are condemning others and doing the same thing. That's the kind of judgment that Jesus condemns. He doesn't condemn all judgment. No. In fact, the Bible tells us to judge righteous judgment. So that's not condemning all judgment, but it's condemning this self-righteous judging when you're doing the same thing that you're trying to condemn your brother for. That's the point. Let's follow 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Well, we need to do that, all of us, myself included. Examine ourselves. We need to know whether we're in Christ or not. I certainly don't want to be a reprobate. You know, today we're all under the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill ye, what? The law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. What about James 1:25? James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the law of Christ, of course, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's be sure we're doers of the word and not hearers only. But let's go on now to the action. We've seen the attitude of these accusers, scribes and Pharisees. They were trying to trap Jesus. And now let's see the action of our Lord and Savior as we go back here to John 8 and verse 6, picking up with the second sentence of verse 6. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. So at first Jesus ignored them as he did not intend to fall into their trap. And the custom, the Oriental custom, to use a stick to draw figures on the ground to indicate deliberate silence. Now, we don't know what Jesus wrote on the ground. The scriptures don't tell us. You can imagine what you want, but we don't know for sure. But the point is, it was silence that we need to appreciate here. So they continued to ask Jesus. He brought them before their own conscience. That's what he did, wasn't it? Jesus shifted the responsibility from himself to the accusers. And they were caught in their own trap. Yes, sirree. Caught in their own trap. They were ashamed, rightly so, as this is what sin does. It should make us all ashamed if we're living in sin. They were transgressors of the law, as was the woman caught in adultery. Jesus dealt with both, her adultery and their self-righteousness. Now, this does not mean only the sinless can judge the guilty. No, sir. But those who are transgressors of the law should not be giving out penalties to others who are transgressing the law, as we saw there in Matthew 7:1-5. So, the scribes and Pharisees forgot the sin of adultery when confronted by their own conscience. And many today are being confronted, yes, by their own conscience, yet they do not turn to God. Now, that's sad to say that, but it's true. They don't turn to God as they should. And this is because people prefer to live in the darkness rather than coming into the light and finding the truth and staying with it and following the gospel of Christ the rest of their life. They prefer to live in sin. And that's why there's so much unhappiness in lives today. We certainly don't want to live in violation of our conscience, do we? We shouldn't. Notice 1 Peter chapter 3, notice verse 21 of 1 Peter 3. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this is how our conscience should be. First of all, it needs to be a good conscience. It needs to be set towards the Word of God, set by the Word of God, and then answered when it goes off. That's what we're seeing here. And, of course, baptism does also what? Now save us. So many people say, no, it doesn't. Well, I'll stay with the Scriptures. How about you? That's what we need to understand here. But to finish up our study, we need to notice now the acclamation. Yes, the acclamation here in verses 10 and 11 of our study of John chapter 8. Notice again. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. So Jesus did not condemn her either as the others left. But this does not mean that he condoned her sin. Of course not. But he was willing to save the woman from her sins. Go and sin no more. Remember what John the Immerser said in Matthew 3:8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. She would need to do that as well and follow Christ to have eternal life, but she could be forgiven of that sin of adultery. You see, Jesus came to seek and save the lost, Luke 19:10. And when Jesus comes again, then he will judge us all. But while he was in the flesh, he came to seek and save the lost, so he didn't condemn her. But he will, when he comes again, as we stand before God, notice 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Whichever way it is, we want it to be good, do we not? We should. So will we be ready? Are we living in violation of our conscience? That's not a pleasant feeling. And if our conscience is not going off, yet we're living in sin, then we really have a problem. Not willing to leave the sinful life, allowing pride to stand in the way of salvation. That shouldn't be the case with anyone. And so we stand ready here at the Morgan Street Church of Christ to study with anyone from the Word of God. Study further and see what God's Word says we must do to get out of a sinful life and have salvation. Hearing the truth, that's how it starts. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Now we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins. We should listen to Him and follow Him. I tell you, nay, except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Now, having believed, we're motivated to repent, to make a change of wills and do the will of God. Going in the right direction, not the wrong way in life, we're going to turn our life around. What a wonderful situation it is to get out of a sinful life and have our conscience cleaned, cleared, and pleasant. You know, that means so much, doesn't it? Luke 13:3-5, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. Now, after repentance comes confession. I state that I believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. It's unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Now I'm ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism to contact the precious blood of Christ as you study Romans 6:3-6. Romans 6:3-6. And then the Lord will add me to His body, the true church. And we thank you so much for listening today.